Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
How many of you guys ready for tonight? Yeah, glad somebody is. Come on. You guys can all be seated. You know, I'm stoked. You know, we got so many awesome preachers coming up in here. It's like, just give me a chance. You know, it's like X Factor. If you don't do well enough during the week, you're out. This one made it through, people. No, it's great. And then Pastor Jurgen, who was here for that word this morning? You know, the Holy Spirit's trying to get something to a church because he never got to his notes, but he was preaching my message. Crazy. It's true. There's no lies. Yeah, he stole it, did it better. So now, you know. Hello. No, it's going to be great. And that live worship thing is going to be powerful. But, you know, Pastor Samuel, if you didn't know, travels the world preaching all over. So he's seen it all, been around it all, and, you know, makes it back on Sunday just to be here, to be fed in this house. And I think him and his wife do amazing things. And I just see God opening doors for you, brother. And not just around the world, but right here in San Diego. I see your book around the country. Thousands and thousands and thousands. If you didn't know, he wrote that book, Following Jesus, just to help people that don't know what the next steps are to read in that book, invest. I got value out of that book, and shoot, I read the Bible. I was like, man, why does he make it read so easy? So thank you for putting that together. That's a God thing. See, speaking of that, you know, God gave him a vision to write that book. What if he didn't? Isn't that crazy? You know, I saw that thing on Joel, and Joel, I got to tell you, man, God doesn't take you to a place to tease you. You know, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. And see, you're out there playing in front of thousands of people, so you got a taste. But see, the devil's into deception. So he tries to give you something sweet, but then twist it. And I see now that you have revelation between black and white. Now you can go back, because how many know that worship needs to be in stadiums full, just like that. See, you've already been there. You know how to get there. Many people that are in churches on worship teams have never even thought that big. They're stoked to fill out to a, you know, packed out Friday night. But see, that's not good enough for you, because you've already seen the vision. You already know what it feels like. You know what it is, but now you're going to be on a platform with a worship team getting the good news of Jesus Christ out there, because you've been there and you can lead people back through it. You know, it's hard to give vision to somebody if you haven't been there yourself. See, that's what's so amazing about our pastors. You know, he's been to a place. He's been through a valley and come out on the other side. You know, even this campus was prophesied. You're going to go from one mountaintop to an even greater mountaintop. And God's going to shake what he's going to shake. And God's been shaking my wife and I. You know what? Stuff's falling off. But it makes us better, bigger, stronger. You know, this word is for our church tonight to go to a new season, a new area in life. Vision has been my wheelhouse, you know, since I was a little kid. I always had vision of awesome stuff. You know, most of it got me in trouble. But then how many know God's like, all right, over this way. Come on. Nope, not over there. You want to fall off the stage? Go for it. But he's leading to us to a place, and he's doing it for this house, C3 San Diego, all over the county. And so, you know, you're not going to be able to come here and sit back. You know, I grew up in church. It was comfortable. Check off the box. I can tell you, you're going to get rattled a little bit. I'm glad to see some of you came back after getting thumped on this morning. Pastor Egan, you know, he told you, if you got a religious spirit, here we go. That was me for 6 months. I think I had 6 months worth of them. But vision, man, I'm telling you, God's going to do something. I'll stay on track, I promise, tonight. Title of my message, which one did I end up with? You know, God keeps changing this stuff on me. So taking me out. Sweet. That's the one I was hoping. I never know. He could have changed it tonight on the front row. I literally went with this one, you know, Eye of the Storm. And then, nope, God switched out on me. Thank God for Paul Churchward. Where is he? I mean, he's got to have something stored up for heaven for preachers like me that just start changing stuff on him. And he has so much grace about it. He's like, no problem, Pastor. No problem. I mean, that is the heart of great leadership. So, you know, this is two parts because I'm preaching in a couple Sundays. So part one is casting vision so you can catch vision. So tonight we're going to cast it. A couple weeks we're going to catch it. Does that sound all right? Hope so. Or just don't come back for that part. I'll cast it. If you don't want to catch it, see you later. Go to Central. Just joking. Hey, listen, so let me tell you, it was interesting. Because when it comes to vision, you can be communicating something and other people not get it. You know, that's what's so important. And you know that we're all called to be leaders. You know, because leadership is, there's not one word for leader in the Bible. So it means just we all are. He just, that's the expectation. We're leading somebody. The disciples, he said, follow me. They got saved and he just put them to work. So when you come into this house, you're like, man, what's this whole grow class about? What's this whole thing serving? I just got here. Yeah, that's what the disciples did. We're just following their model. Said, follow me. Okay, I'll follow you. Next thing you know, they're doing stuff. They're building the house. So when you come in here, next thing you know, you're at a grow class you probably didn't even sign up for. Next thing you know, you're on a team high waving to people. Hey, awesome. I've never even met you. I've been here 1 week, but I'm on the high team. Come on. Any of those in here? That was me. I was high. Team. Yep, I should probably just get to my word. Anyways. But communication on leadership is, or on vision actually, is so key. You know, I saw this guy, he was telling me a story about he was on the side of the road, broke down on a car, and he was sitting there waiting for help. Finally, someone pulls up behind him and says, hey man, do you need a lift? He's like, actually, you got a pretty big Jeep. Why don't you just push me to the gas station? 30 miles an hour, we're fine on the freeway. He goes, yeah, no problem. So he's sitting there, sweet, jumps in his nice car, waiting for the guy to give him a tug. He looks behind him, there's nobody there. Then all of a sudden, he sees the Jeep coming at 30 miles an hour. As a chiropractor, that's not a good story. That's how I heard it. He ended up in my office with a whiplash. Not too bright. Thanks, man. Hopefully the Holy Spirit won't leave. That was like a good rhythm there. But I'm just telling you, that guy, this guy in the Jeep backed up, started going 30 miles an hour to give him a push. Smashed his car, if you missed the joke, but it wasn't a joke. That's called communicating vision. He wanted to go somewhere. He wanted this guy to push him at 30 miles an hour. The guy saw something else in mind. You think it's funny? It wasn't funny. Bad whiplash. You know, remind me of the time when it's actually when I was moving into my our second house. I was in the doorway, and I had a fridge in the doorway stuck. And my neighbor walks by, and he wanted to give me help, you know, give me a little hand here. Starts pushing on the thing. I was pushing on the thing. He thought I was trying to go out. I was trying to go in. So let me tell you, after 5 minutes, he goes, I think this is stuck. You're never going to get it in. I said, I'm trying to get it out. I didn't communicate my vision very effectively. Okay, these are all life lessons, people. I'm telling you, when you're trying to build the church, how many know that vision is important? How many know that we have one of the greatest pastors, Pastor Juergen, in communicating vision? You know, you started, hey, this church is fresh, real, and powerful. Then you find out what those words mean. But we all know it's fresh, real, and powerful. We all know that he had a vision since day one of one church, four locations. Now that vision is increased. One church, 16 locations. Don't get nervous, just get excited. So I love this quote by P.K. Bernard. He said, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. So how many know vision is important? You know, the first title of my message is, you know, it's just the eye in the storm. You still got to have vision even when you're going through junk. You know, anybody else been through junk besides me? Yeah, okay, five of you, right on. Then you guys are highly favored and blessed, the rest of you. You just walk around too blessed to be stressed? too anointed to be disappointed? You know, in a proverb, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. That's Proverbs 29:18. See, vision is the bridge between the present and the future. You have to have vision. You know, it's amazing how many people don't have vision. You know the number one thing that steals vision? Anybody? It's Q&A. It's usually an offense or pain. See, the devil can afflict you once, causing you some pain, and you lose your vision. And then what happens is we blame the devil for everything else the rest of our life, but it was just that one thing that caused us pain, that we stayed in it. The devil was already on messing with somebody else. But we just haven't let that thing go. You know, my little girl and I were watching Beauty and the Beast. Not the cartoon. We got real. We went the real one. I was singing, tears. I call it eye sweating to my daughter. You know, but this guy had a vision. You know what his vision was? He wanted to just dance and be around the most beautiful people. It was all about him. And then he came in and he got afflicted with a pain. But see, he stayed in that pain, got a victim mentality, and he just talked about that pain. Didn't see on the other side of that pain. He lost the vision for his life, thinking that no one could ever love him. But then opportunity came, and then guess what? That vision started to come back. And then he set that thing free because it started not being about him anymore. And see, tonight my whole message is about when you can get your vision back and sustain that vision and get other people around you to hold you accountable to that vision, God's going to get you through the other side. Because if that vision is big, there will be an upset, a conflict, an offense, maybe a pain. I mean, like they say, without pain, there is no gain. And God's always there for you. You know, remind me of the movie I woke up and started crying this morning watching The Shack. I needed to clear my mind. I shouldn't have done it. Talk about eye sweating. Hyperventilating eye sweating. It's like P90X of eye sweating. Here it was, The Shack. This guy had a pain in his life. Couldn't see a vision for his future. Lost focus, lost track, lost the purpose, lost his joy. See, if you have your vision, you keep your joy. It's so important that we never lose our vision. So what's it take? You know, I love this. I was thinking about it because I've had so many. I take care of so many military in my office. And it's amazing. I've taken care of young kids that were in high school, and then they go into the military. But I want to show you what vision does, because it's a perception. We get a perspective when we get vision. See, how many of you love it when your mom yells at you? How about your friends when they just rip you one? Anybody love that? Nobody? Okay, one of you. Right on. That's good. That's good. See, you get these guys that were in high school, total punks. I mean, these are some of my patients. I love them. They're just young kids. Or they're off to college or going to UCSD or USD. And then one day they have this vision for their life that they want to go be a Navy SEAL. Let me tell you, they graduate one day. The next day, they're in this buds class getting yelled at, telling them what their mom is, going crazy, shaving their head. They wouldn't let 2 weeks ago anyone talk to them like that. Now they're in buds taking it. I'm not ringing that bell. Getting a beat down because they have a vision. See, we can tolerate some stuff in our life when we got a vision out in front of us. See, when you come into the church, God wants to get you something. He wants to show you a vision for your life because he has one for every one of your life. And then what happens is you might go through some stuff, but if your eyes are fixated on that vision, you will not be deterred. What changed with those kids that I saw them in high school? Now they're a Navy SEAL. The vision for their life. What changed with Pastor Jurgen, where surfing was his thing, and then he gets saved on a beach, and then he's getting called to San Diego years later? There was some suffering in New Zealand. There was some stuff he had to put up with, but the vision of seeing lives impacted got him through. And then God kept giving him more and kept giving more. It's just not Pastor Jurgen. It's every one of you sitting here tonight. You know, and that's what I want to share with you because it's so important. Let me read this to you, if I can find it. You know, in the second part of the Proverbs says, but happy you as it keeps the law. The law isn't just something God gave to Moses. It is also the restraint, the boundaries, the disciplines we develop around our life to direct us through obstacles instead of around them. These obstacles become baptisms of fire that forge our character and can attain and maintain a life of greatness. See, what happens when we don't have vision, we just go down the path of least resistance. And then every time we have an obstacle in front of them, we go victim mentality. I've never met a victim mentality person with vision. But I've watched people with vision go through far worse and come out on the other side of it forged to be something bigger. You know, in 1 Chronicles 22, 5 through 12, I just want to read this. This is the life of David, and I've only mostly known the stories of David when he was either taking down Goliath, either when he was the king and all the glorious things that came with that. Everyone knows the story about, you know, here he was with Bathsheba, then he got redeemed. But actually, the life of King David was unbelievable. Unbelievable, the stuff he went through. But God gave him a vision and a plan for his life, not to be in battle all the time, but that's what he did. But he still got a vision for a temple that he'd never build. But God gave him the vision. And what's so amazing is, as leaders right here in this house, God's going to give you a vision. God's given Pastor Juergen a vision and a legacy that might and will live way beyond him with multiple campuses, C3's Global, C3 America's, strong churches that are fresh, real, and powerful. Matter of fact, while I was in worship, when Colin Higginbottom was talking about that in Vision Builders, he was sitting there going, what about supernatural wealth? What about supernatural wealth? And the next picture I got, no joke, was a Trader Joe's with the stage in the back of it, with a worship team, full hours worshiping while people were shopping. Because someone got a vision, I can own a supermarket and have a worship team on instead of music playing through the whole thing the whole time. Could you imagine walking into Trader Joe's right over there? And you see our worship team on a stage in the back playing from 7 a.m. and they just rotate out all day long. Do you think lives would be impacted? What if every one of you got a vision for something that was so radical that we owned our businesses, but they were all giving God glory? I mean, that's some pretty radical vision. I saw it right here in worship today. But see, King David had this vision for the temple. And yet he told his son, God's not going to give it, let me be a part of it. He's not going to let me build it because I have blood on my hands. But I'm going to show you the way. And I'm going to read you what he says. When God provided David with the vision of Jerusalem temple, the king wanted to be personally instrumental in making the dream a reality. But the Lord told David that the job of building the temple would be given to his son Solomon, David's son and successor. See, he had lots of sons. Why Solomon? Why Solomon? And I'll tell you why in a minute. But David chose not to view himself as having been cut out of the action. Instead, he energetically undertook his new charge, that of instilling his vision and passion for the temple so Solomon could be enlisted and support the vision. Wow. See, Solomon didn't even care. Solomon was this young kid. But it took David's passion to lay out the vision. See, some people get a vision, but they don't communicate it. You know, it'd be hard for my wife and I to do what we want to do if I don't tell her what my vision is. You know, half the conflict would be like, what is my husband doing? He's off the rails again. You know, I have to communicate what I'm doing with Michaela for me to get away with what I'm trying to do. You know, we got to get buy-in. You know, it's for people like Pastor Juergen or myself or even some of you that I know in here, man, you'd be tough to work for. Because sometimes your vision is so big, you're freaking people out. So how do we close the gap? How do we get the bridge and get people enrolled in that vision? It's because along the way, everybody plays the part. Do you know if Pastor Juergen came to San Diego and didn't enroll any one of us, right now we wouldn't have three locations. How many pastors do we know that never communicate a vision and they're still the church of 50? The average church in America is under 100. It's amazing. And this is the best news, the good news right here. They could pack and fill stadiums, and yet they're not articulating the vision of what's in this word. We need to be masters of vision, of communication, not just getting it, but sharing it. And that's what King David, if you read his life, that's what he was so good at. He said, listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I made plans to build it. But God said to me, you are to build a house not for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood. Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts. And for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unserving and carrying out my commands and laws as being done at this time. He said, if. It wasn't a guarantee that Solomon would catch that vision. So David said, purposed in his heart, my son will catch the vision. I will show him the way. I will raise money. I'll show him exactly. He described what that temple would look like to a T, so his son Solomon would miss nothing. And then he did it. So now I charge you in the sight of all of Israel and the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of the God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. God gave David the command, and then David shared the vision, and everyone else followed. It's a powerful thing. I know so many people that they're more worried about followers than they are about developing leaders. I'm telling you, the key thing is, how do we develop? And it comes through communicating your vision effectively. So you can't impart what you don't possess. I know so many people that are internet successes that say, you know, I'm a $1 million, $1 billion thing. I'm like, bro, I was just out. You just asked me for $20 last week. You're broke. But then I see another guy walking saying, I'm crushing, I'm slaying this thing right now. We're doing it. And he's in an apartment complex. Wow. I'm like, bro, go down to Symbolic, get in front of a Lambo and start saying that. Doesn't have to be yours, but inspire me. You know? I'm just saying, there's so many people out there that are living incongruent. How can I talk about driving a car and teach someone to drive a car if I don't even have a license or I've never driven a car? If you don't possess it, how are you going to share what to do with somebody else? You can be a great coach. You can be you could be a coach of something you're passionate about, and you could go learn it. But if you've never, ever accumulated wealth or money or have no clue how, but you read about it. Wow. I hung out with Eddie Hillard and I heard about it. So now I'm going to be like, I could monetize this. Hey, everybody, follow me live tonight on my web seminar. I'm interviewing Eddie Hillard for the 5 tips on how to be successful and wealthy like me from my one-bedroom apartment that my mother pays for. But one day, you know, listen, I was a big believer, fake it till you make it. You know, because I spoke life. I spoke those things. I didn't have it. But I was speaking it as though they were and they are. And I walked into that. That's different than me trying to put on this facade and trying to trick people for monetary gain. There's a difference. The difference is, listen, I knew I was going to be a great chiropractor before I was one. But I went and hung out with the greats. I was passionate about it. So even though I would tell people, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. It's my first month. But I'm mentoring with the number one guy. So if I don't know something, I'll go talk to him and I'll be right back. Give me 2 minutes. You know, I was straight up with him. And people loved that I would be that real. But then one day, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And you learn and you glean those things and you walk them out. But you got to get passionate about it. You got to walk in it. You got to impart something that you have. I cannot impart something that I don't have. I'd be like, someone asked me a question the other day. I'm like, you better go talk to my wife. No idea what you're talking about. I would lead you the total wrong way. It's like when Pastor Phil comes, he says, do not come to me for pastoral care. I love it. He's so real. I'm sitting on the front row going, man, I got to get around him. I want him to impart that gift. I do not have the grace for pastoral care. I'm looking at him, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he just said that. But he does know what he's really good at, imparting vision. He's the faith man. He will build faith in you like you've never seen, and then you'll go find that thing. So stay in your lane, and you won't get burned out. See, burnout comes when people lose vision. I've never met somebody, I mean, I got a lot going on. I'm never burned out. Hang out with Sean Walker, that guy's never been burned out. Well, I mean, I just met him, but he gets me fired up. You know, you get around people that are contagious and you want to do more. You want to be more. We all have it in us. It's just how much stuff has been piled on. Guilt, shame, pain, offense, whatever it is, we got to rip it off. Must be imparted in a formal and informal ways. See, David laid out formally with plans, designs. He laid out formally what that thing was going to look like. And then he did it informally, telling him, you're my son. This is why I'm passionate about it. This is God. This is the Ark of the Covenant. He got passionate, so that's informal. But the formal was he laid out the plans for his boy. So his boy, he's like, I see it, Dad. I'm going to do it. I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to honor our God. It's going to be more incredible than you've ever seen. And he fulfilled that because of his dad's passion for the house of the Lord. You know, there's an old story about three bricklayers. It's one of my favorites. Illustrates, you know, kind of what this looks like. You know, this guy walked up to the first bricklayer, and he said, hey, what are you doing? What's it look like I'm doing? He said all sarcastically. And he says, I don't know. That's why I asked you. Well, I'm laying bricks. Touchy subject. Walked on to the next guy working on the same job. Hey, what are you doing? He said, can't you see what I'm doing? I'm building a wall. Okay. Went to the third guy. The man asked the next guy on the wall, what are you doing? He said, can't you see what I'm doing? I'm building the house of God. And I want to ask you, who do you think's most passionate about his job? The guys that's ticked off about putting a brick? The guy that's building the wall? Maybe just plugging in a 9-to-5? Or the guy that's building the house of God? They were all three doing the same thing. They just all three had a different perspective on what their role is. You know, I was learning how to get my captain's license. I'll never forget this. I wanted to race these little 22-foot sailboats because I thought it looked crazy. And I saw this guy get nailed by the big beam and get thrown off the boat. I'm like, that looks like an adrenaline rush. I want to learn. And we were sitting there talking, and we were just talking. And he was so passionate about sailing, I started to think he was a little cuckoo. I'm like, man. But then when he invited me over to his house, trophies, pictures, everything, sailboats, and I saw a picture of him and his dad fishing on a boat. Wow. And his dad died of a heart attack at a young age, and he never got to fulfill his destiny of sailing from Seattle all the way to Cabo with his dad. That was going to be their trip. And he was just, I could tell he was into boats. He was into everything. He could tell me everything about sailing. He was so passionate. It got me enrolled in it. And he said, if you want to build a great ship, you can go buy and sell the most talented craftsmen, or you can find a person who loves the sea. Who do you want to hire to build your boat? Rock my world. See, imparting God's vision to a team around us is the single most factor to see the mission accomplished. That's why I love Pastor Jurgen. He sees stuff in all of us, and he'll unlock it. He could speak life into a situation. He'll see it. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to him. And guess what? I see people around us, myself included, that start to pick that up because we're around them. We get imparted that. My prophetic gift, I didn't even know I had. I used to think, oh, I just kind of know stuff about people when I was young and lost. But then, Pastor, you're going to unlock that. And I just get downloads all the time for you in this church, for myself, for my family, for my little girl, for my little boy. God's already revealing things about my boy that I never thought. He's 2.5. And I'm already seeing his picture laid out. Makes you get on a knee and want to pray for his spouse, for my little daughter's spouse, about the future of what's going to happen in this church, taking ground in Escondido, buying buildings. Like, I didn't even have a vision, you know, to be a pastor until one day I did. What the heck? You never know what's got, if he would have showed me that when I just got saved, I'd have been like, oh, I got the wrong coffee at this cafe. No wonder they're giving us free coffee as a visitor. I'm going to be a pastor. Oh, man. So then David goes on. I love this. I want to just read this one part right out of here. And David gave to his son Solomon the plans for the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in King David and in his mind for the courts of the temple, for the Lord and all the surrounding rooms, for the treasuries and the dedicated things. He also gave him the plan for the chariot, that is, the cherubim of gold that spread their wings and would shelter the ark of the covenant of the Lord. He gave him to the details.
think it's so powerful. God's into the details. He's going to put friendships in your life so that they can hold us accountable, because God is putting stuff. Maybe some of you are going to write a book. Maybe some of you are going to take the marketplace. Maybe some of you are going to be worshipers. Maybe some of you just want to figure out, because you don't know what that vision even looks like. But God didn't bring you to the house of God for you not to get it. You know, I love that story of Billy Graham. And it was him, you know, as a young kid, and they were taking a tour of John Wesley's house. And everybody got on back on the bus after the tour, except one person, and it was Billy Graham. It's because they got to one room in that house, and when they were saying, yeah, this is John Wesley's private bedroom. And what had happened is they went around, they saw where the carpet was worn out, two spots. And Billy Graham says, God, what is, or not God, what is that? What is this, to the tour guide? He said, oh, that's where John Wesley got down on his knees and prayed every night for revival. And Billy Graham's like, wow, that's powerful. But then guess what? They did the count. They were missing one kid, and they realized it was Billy Graham. You know where they found him? Back in that room on his knees saying, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And the truth is, he got the concept. If you could do it for one man that's no longer living, can you do it again? And Billy Graham can become one of the greatest evangelists of all time. God gave him that vision right there in that house. But he's doing it right here in this house. He's bringing stuff back to life. He's bringing marriages back to life. Young people in on a Friday night getting their bell rung. You know, I love it. You know, it's like, I had a friend come one time. He goes, man, it's a little radical on a 5 o'clock. You really think they're all that hyped up? I'm like, how passionate are you? I saw you a couple weeks ago having a couple beers yelling at the Chargers, and they're not even around anymore. Why don't you get a little passionate about God and see what he does? It's amazing. I guarantee some people are getting unlocked coming down to the altar. I met a gentleman earlier that said, the only reason I'm here is because my son here, and I was just coming to check this place out, make sure it was all right, because I've never seen my kid so on fire. And he wasn't complaining. He just wanted to make sure. He's like, there's no way. I know my kid, but something got unlocked on his kid, so he came to be a part of it. I love it. He said, David said to Solomon, he left him with this in 2 Kings 6, 16 through 17. Solomon, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you for all the work and the service of the temple until God tells you it is finished. The divisions of the priests and the Levites are ready for the work of the temple of God, and every willing man skilled in any craft will help you with all the work. The officials and all the people will obey your every command. Did his dad set him up or what? See, you got to understand that this is a church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a church that believed in the Word of God, but they never preached the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd be remiss to tell you if, man, you haven't seen that power, witnessed that power, come down to the altar tonight. Let someone on the ministry team pray for you. Know what that power is. To operate in the gifts, prophetic words, laying on the hands to see your friends get healed, get unlocked. That's why I love what Colin was saying about get unlocked. If you know that there's something on the inside of you, that dream that you want to be, you're young, but you got some of this thing, I want to own my own business one day, then don't let anybody tell you. If your father put it on the inside of you, nobody can take it out of you. And sometimes we got to say, cancel, get behind me, Susan. Whatever it is. There's so many people, because they lost their vision, they want to make sure they rip yours off. Instead, why don't you be strong enough, bold enough to help them get their vision back? Because that's what it is. There's hurt people, and hurt people do hurtful things. I'm going through stuff, but you know what? Instead of getting bitter, I want to get better. I want to pray for them. I want to lift them up, encourage them. See, we're called to be kingdom builders. This is Vision Builders Month. When we play an active role in the realization of what God has for us, unlocks us. Through mentoring relationships, we enlist others in this grand scheme of redemption. that God planned out before the foundations of the world were ever set. So I love that our pastor knew it would have been easy for him to stay in Australia. Easy, because he had profile. But God said, I didn't want you to stay here. It's not your profile you're going to build the house. It's my profile that's going to build the house. Come on. So how do we get vision? If you're going to take notes or drop a tweet for later, there's three things I want to drop you right here. There's different types of vision. We need all three. We need foresight, we need insight, and we need oversight. True godly vision comes from foresight, insight, and oversight, but it comes from His sight. So let me break it down. Foresight is like looking through a telescope. This outlook allows us to know what is ahead, and it connects us to our future. Foresight is the element of vision that helps us make sense and gives us the motivation that we talked about. Why would Solomon keep going? Do you think it was easy? Why would someone in Buds keep going? Do you think it's easy? They had foresight, looking in the future of what would be when they got the trident on their chest. That's foresight. But Jesus is who unveils foresight. For godly kingdom purposes, for kingdom building, Jesus gives you foresight. Insight is like viewing life through a microscope, which we need. We need to see it, and then we need to inspect it. That's insight. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Be still and know that I am God. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you tonight. Get insight. Are you going to buy this house or that house? Are you going to quit this job to move into this job? Are you going to date this person or marry that person? This is where insight and the Holy Spirit. And then you need oversight. This puts life into context. I mean, I know a lot of people that have one thing. They'll have foresight, but no insight. They'll have foresight, but no oversight. I'm going to move to this part of the country, but leave church. My foundation, my things. They went, but they weren't sent. That's why we have oversight. That's why we need mentors. That's why we need great friends that are in the house of God. But how many of us are getting advice from people that have no idea what your core values are? You need good oversight. Why are we asking everyone's opinion? Let's get God's opinion. Let's get His insight. And let's check with godly mentors in our life or pastors in our life for oversight. This is a perspective that only we receive from the view that helps us understand where we are with respect to where everything else is. So important. I love this story. There's this guy named Steve. He always dreamed of owning his own business. But more than that, Steve truly believed in his dream to put affordable computers in every home and office. He really believed it would revolutionize the world, so he took the plunge and started his own company. The only problem was he only knew computers. He wasn't a businessman. He needed the best CEO he could get. So he met John Sculley, CEO of Pepsi Cola. Somehow Steve had to convince Sculley to leave his prominent position at one of the most prestigious and profitable companies in the world and run Steve's fledgling startup company. Somehow, someway, Steve managed to schedule a meeting with this guy he had never met, John Sculley. Mr. Sculley listened patiently to the young man's presentation, even allowed Steve to schedule another meeting. Finally, after several appointments, Sculley introduced Steve to reality. You'd have to give me $1 million salary, $1 million signing bonus, and $1 million severance package. Steve was shocked. He couldn't afford anything close to those figures. Still, his boldness and his passion and his vision blurted the words out of his mouth. You got it. Even if I had to pay for it out of my own pocket. Sculley didn't become CEO of a multinational corporation by being an idiot. He knew the bluff when he heard one. Steve, I'd love to be an advisor, but I don't think I can come. Steve dropped his head, took a long breath, and issued a challenge that pierced Sculley to the core. looking at him right in the eye, Steve simply asked, "Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world?" John Sculley resigned from PepsiCo and took Steve Jobs up on his offer and led the fledgling company called Apple, and together they changed the world. That's right out of memoirs of Steve Jobs. When I read that, I'm like, I'm preaching that. Because he had a vision for a computer in every house. How much more so do we need to see God? Salvation, redemption, power in every house. Thank you, Steve, for helping that out so we can Google Jesus and John 3:16. But I will tell you that every one of us can preach the gospel, and sometimes we can use words. Just by what you're living, are you living out your vision? You know, God placed in each one of us a yearning for significance, but yet few of us actually devote our lives to great endeavors. The message of Christianity tells us, you know, we can participate in something, but I'll tell you, Christianity can stretch you. Jesus can stretch you. If you catch a hold of that passion, let the God vision get on the inside of you. By passing on the vision of God to the next generation of his people, we can have a hand in eternity. You know, if Yergs didn't come to San Diego, I'd be nervous. I'm not giving it to Yergs. I knew Jesus, but my life was a mess. I would debate with anybody I was going to heaven, but I had lost my way. And it took a pastor that was real, not just on Sundays, but Monday through Sunday, that I looked for flaws. I was looking because I had that religious spirit, but he unlocked something. He played a hand in my eternal salvation that can affect thousands and thousands of thousands. That we all have keys to unlock people. I see it all the time. People walking around with keys in a dream. I see prophetic words on people like keychains with 1,000 keys, and God always shows me they have keys to unlock other people. You could never get to their access of who they influence, but they got the keys on their belt, and then they can unlock dreams and visions to point them to who their creator is. You know, the final steps of seeing your mission accomplished is establishing your steps. This is what did it for me. Proverbs said, "The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." That's in Proverbs 16:9. Psalm says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." That's Psalms 37:23 and 24. It's so important to hear these things. See, we take steps every day, day in and day out, day in and day out. Step by step, moment by moment, hour by hour, we're making decisions. But I'm wondering, is it a God vision or is it your vision? See, Beauty and the Beast, it was his vision until he got it stripped. And then he found out who he was. And he got redeemed and he was able to make it right. But that's in the movies, people. I always ask, you know, young people when I mentor them, is that a vision that's birthed by God? Or is that something you read about? Is that someone else's dream that you thought was cool? But what dream did God give you? And here's how I know. See, when your vision is honestly birthed by God himself, he will direct your steps. He will open the doors that no one else can open. And here's the revelation that I had. The most important thing to remember about your steps is that they should be found somewhere in your mission. So what's a mission? Let's go back through your iPhone calendar. Let's go to your Google calendar. Let's go to whatever, your Outlook, whatever it may be. Let's look at your calendar. You show me the previous month, and can I tell your vision is in it? What does your month look like on last month? Will I see your mission? See, years ago, my wife can show you this. My calendar was packed the entire year, but you know what my mission was? Chiropractic. I was gonna take over the association. I was gonna turn it around. I was gonna do all, it was all about chiropractic. God wasn't anywhere in it. If you look at my calendar now, it's about building the house of God. It's about building people. It's about going out to dinner. It's about sowing in. It's amazing. I can look at my calendar and find where my vision and my purpose of my heart is. So we look at it like this. Does it look like they are directly attached to your mission? If not, we have two decisions. We can either redefine your mission or redirect your steps. That's it. We're sitting here tonight. Maybe you don't know what your vision is. You don't know what your mission is. We can figure it out right here. And one drop from heaven can unlock vision. Or if you know what your vision is, you know what your mission is, it's time to redirect our steps. Get back on God's true north. So important. You know why it's important? Because history's at stake. History's at stake. I have two little kids and maybe, hopefully another one. Or two. I don't want to limit myself. I won't be around forever. They're going to outlive me. But I'm telling you. You know, the joke is early to bed, early to rise, work like HLL and advertise. That's what it used to be. But I'm telling you now, it's I got a purpose for a hedge of protection around my kids, that they get the God dreams, the God purpose. I want to be like King David to my little girl, to show her what the vision is, and I'm going to help her pave the way to my little boy Maverick. I didn't name him Maverick. He's a rebel for the kingdom. That's why I named him Maverick, not Top Gun, people. My wife never even saw Top Gun. She goes, why is everyone sending you Tom Cruise pictures? I'm like, babe, freaking Maverick and Top Gun. She goes, what's that? Oh, my Lord, I married you, and you don't know what Top Gun is? So guess what we did 3 days after Maverick was born? We watched that volleyball scene over and over again. I don't know why. But I'm telling you, as I wrap it tonight, you know, if I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus, he is the history maker. It's his story that we're going to get in every home, on every part of this globe. There's a mission, people. And you can play a small part or a big part, but no matter what, you're playing a part. But if you don't know Jesus, let's start there. And it's simple. It's not this radical thing. It's just saying, God, I want to know you. I don't know you. He did create you. You know, I have a scientific background, a scientific mind. I've debated with the best. At the end of the day, I say, you know what? Just test them. I have multiple people call me and tell me, quit praying for me. Quit praying for me. And then they start to tell me because God starts showing up in a real tangible way in their life. And you're here tonight and you're not really sure. You don't even not really sure if you want to raise your hand to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's fine. But I encourage you, don't leave here without saying, God, if you're real, show yourself real. I challenge you to challenge God and see he will show up. He's been chasing you. You might have come here because someone drug you here. Maybe someone wouldn't go out on a date with you like it was with my wife unless you showed up at church. There is no God accident on why you're here. So if that's you, you know you want to encounter Jesus for the first time tonight or rededicate your life tonight, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray for you. It's going to be super simple. You want to know who your Savior is right over here. I see your hand, young man. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Come on. Make a bold stand for Jesus tonight. Come on. Right up there, sir. I see your hand. Once you raise your hand, you can put it down. Anybody else? I don't want to leave anyone out of this tonight. I know people were getting unlocked tonight. If I had to change a message, I have no problem changing a message. Because it's more about what God's trying to get to somebody. Come on, I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Is there one more? I feel like there's one more in my spirit. I don't want to rush anybody, but I don't want the devil to get away with nothing. I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray for you. Just if we get over the whole church, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I give it to you. I repent. I turn around. I ask for your vision. for my life to do great things. God, I give my trust to you. Thank you, Lord. We give you honor. Amen. Listen, if that was you, I have somebody here that's awesome. Right here, this young lady. We're in major construction out there, so we can't take you out. It will be done in a couple weeks, put a new cafe. But this young lady right here with the ministry team, if that was you that raised your hand, we want to give you a Bible. We want to give you that book that this great man wrote called Following Jesus, The Next Steps. I encourage you, don't let the devil try to trick you. I would definitely get baptized if you've never been baptized. It shifts stuff. As you go down under that water, you come up a new creation. And I've had people that come up that broke off addictions the minute they came out of that water, that they saw for the first time what was out in front of them. So I'm telling you, if you raise your hand, you come get that book, Following Jesus. On page 24, it talks about baptism and the power of it. Get baptized the next time we have one. We do it once a month or every 6 weeks. Get plugged into a connect group. Get on a team. Get around some amazing people. But tonight, you know, we're going to open up this altar, and I'm going to have the ministry just pray for you, for vision, for God ideas, for marketplace leadership, for I don't care if it's a new job, for a wife, for a spouse, whatever it may be. We have not because we, and it's time we start asking, and we ask big. We didn't come to play small with this church. We're taking ground. We need people that want to volunteer on, if you got any skill set with sound. If you love people, man, get out in front. If you know how to barista, barista it up. Whatever it is, you want to gig up here and give me some kick bass? Whatever it is, we will find a place. If we don't have one, we'll make one. All right, we want every one of you to use your talents for the kingdom. So we'll open up this altar. Those of you that raised your hand, you know, we're not going to stalk you. We're not a stalker church, but you want to come down. This is where life is altered. So be brave, come down, get altered. And church, I appreciate you. I do love you. We're going to do great things together. So let me pray us out of here real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you for great vision tonight. God, thank you that you're doing something afresh, that God, you're unlocking people tonight, God. Lord, we ask that you redeem us. You show us, God, where we feel intimidated, we crush fear in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you, Lord, for a new spirit of boldness to fall on this house, that we can walk in your power, in your might, so we make your name famous. And the church of C3 said, amen. All right, guys, see you next Sunday.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.